come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Amen. Collect my paraphernalia here.
Thank you, Gary. We have a way of collecting things in life. Most Americans have basements and attics and sheds and things that prove that. But, you know, even in religion, we collect things. We have a way of just piling up stuff. And we have a way of pointing and say, oh, look at that building, or look at that university, or look at this edifice, this shrine. And it seems to be an accomplishment of religion. It's the way we identify religion. And it must have been what was happening is the disciples are giving Jesus a tour of the temple. I find it unusual to take the one who's your Lord and show him something new, something he doesn't know, his own temple he wouldn't know. But they wanted to show the great building. They put a lot of esteem in that building. And Jesus more or less said, it's coming down. It's coming down. Everything you see, folks, is going to the dump one day. And this temple's coming down too. And that got their curiosity up. That began an itch they wanted scratched. And so they asked Jesus a really loaded question in verse 3. Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? You know, I love it when people do that. They ask me a question as if I'm going to answer it in a sentence or so. And it's really like, you know, tell me, what's the Bible all about? Or who is Jesus anyways? And oh yeah, I got just a sentence or two to say. No, this is a really big question. And you know I like essay answers. You know I like essay sermons. But here they're asking him a really loaded question. And I would say Jesus gives a rather brief, concise answer. And I can't even answer all of that this morning. But I want to deal with just a little bit of it. The first thing he says in verse 4 is that there's going to be deception. Before you see the bricks tumbling down, you're going to find out that first truth is going to get cast down and thrown into the streets. People are going to start twisting the truth. And in verse 5, he more or less says that the world's going to go into false labor. Now, the reason I say false labor, you know, some mamas expecting, they think they're going into labor and they get to the hospital and everybody's all excited and oops, it was false labor pains. It's not really. Just seemed like it. It was just starting up, but it's not the real delivery yet. Down in verse 8, when Jesus said, all these are the beginning of sorrows, that word for sorrows there is birth pangs or travail. In other words, labor pains. It's like the earth is giving birth to something. In this world, when you look at events, it's those contractions. And ladies, I speak with all respect and with no experience, but except what I've watched my wife go through, is that they start out light and far apart, and they get more intense, and they get closer together. And you know what's coming as it gets more closely happening in sequence, and the power of them gets stronger. Jesus is listing a whole bunch of things here, and he says, we're not even getting started yet. So right at the beginning, there's going to be people saying, oh, here's the Messiah, here's Christ. We just witnessed this last week the passing away of Sun Yang Moon. Some of you have heard of him, and some of you maybe haven't, but he claimed to be the Messiah. And I thought he'd sort of get laughed out of town. Instead, he prospered quite well. Even had a leading newspaper in Washington. Someone wrote a book once. Okay? Sun and moon. They said the moon is not the sun. I thought that was a clever title. But he's just one of many. One of many that have either claimed to be Messiah or made a claim that they knew when Messiah was coming, and they set dates and they create all kinds of sensations. They use or abuse the doctrine of prophecy to create all kinds of attention, maybe to create movements that will distract people and deceive people from the truth. And my heart was sick this last year or so ago when these awful dates were being set. And thankfully, other people were allowed to speak up and tell the truth so that these imposters can be pushed aside and ignored like they should be. We're not on the planning committee, folks. Christ coming back doesn't need a planning committee. It's already planned. All we need to do is be on the welcoming committee. But verse 6 goes on to say there'll be wars and there'll be rumors or threats of wars. And this is going to go on for a long time. I don't think I have to prove that to you. Grab any history book. Any history of any country is a history of war. Any newspaper you ever pick up going back in the archives will mention war. Verse 7, political and social upheaval, nations rising up against nations. That can imply economics, religion, ethics, all kinds of things, but upheaval constantly, starvation and disease, earthquakes. And if you want to compare Luke 21, that is a parallel passage here, it would go into all kinds of natural disasters, things that are just shocking to see. I remember a few years ago when Charlie was still with us. It was New Year's morning and we were going to take some prayer requests. It was Sunday, New Year's morning. And he said, we probably should pray for all those people that got killed by a tsunami. And I didn't even know what a tsunami was. I just called them tidal waves. But 250,000 people died in that one day. And people I know were affected by it. A pastor I know in India, his library was wiped out by the flood that came from that tsunami. But Jesus said, these are just the beginning of sorrows. The labor pains, the real labor pains are just starting. So you better hang on. Because he says in verse 12 that evil in the world will make people hard-hearted, afraid or unwilling to love. I remember having a talk with an intelligent man who was a skeptic. And he worked a lot with people. Matter of fact, he became a judge in Marathon County. And for a while, he was my neighbor. And he was telling me he was really weary of religious people, always trying to predict exciting events of the return of Christ and the end of the world based on earthquakes and storms and seasonal oddities. And he says, this stuff's been going on for a long time. I says, you're absolutely right. But I began to quote to him the scriptures that talk about people's natural affections and that people will stop having them. Perilous times when people will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. Self-centered, not even having natural affection, which has to do with the affection a parent would have for their children. I began to describe, in essence, crime and the condition of the human mind and heart. And all of a sudden, the smug look on his face dropped. When I talk about those things, he knew in his own soul that it's really getting bad. Because he has to work with it every day. And so this frightens me more than an earthquake or a tsunami, folks. When it says that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Religious persecution in verse 9. In the name of religion, yes, even Christian religion, people are going to attack, hurt, persecute, even kill other people. In verse 10, those calling themselves Christians shall fall away. If you got a King James Bible, it says many shall be offended. That doesn't mean their nose are stuck up in the air and they're just saying, I don't like that, even though that's true. But the word offended here means to stumble. They're going to start stumbling over things. Instead of walking in the light as He is in the light, they're going to start getting off into the dark and they're going to be tripping over things and not even know what they're tripping over. the doctrinal traps, the moral traps, the ethical traps, the political traps, the economic traps that are out there. People naming the name of Christ are not going to be departing from iniquity. They're going to get tangled up. They're going to depart from the faith. They're going to depart from the truth. They will cause divisions. Fear and hatred will fracture people. Yes, even physical families. Do you know there's a civil war going on in our country? You know, you don't see people in gray and blue uniforms waving flags, beating drums, and firing cannons. You don't see boundaries drawn between the states of our country, because the line being drawn today is going right down the middle of society. Any community you are in, any family you're in, people are taking sides against each other for an awful lot of issues that I will not take the time to name right now. But people are getting fractured. And many people just don't know what to do. And some are just saying, I don't think I'll do anything. Well, that'll fix a lot. If I just stick my head in the sand, I'll change my perception and I'll feel good again. False teaching will increase. Well, that was said right at the beginning about deceivers. It's just going to get worse. And no wonder. You know, the prophet Daniel says that there's going to be a great increase in learning. That doesn't mean the same thing as an increase in knowledge, though. There's going to be a lot of teaching. Look at the ways we can learn today. Part of the problem of me trying to teach people as much as I want to teach today is people are tired of hearing information. You know, let's just put it this way. You know, I expect some people to sometimes come in with a little card and say, too much information. And they're talking about the fact that my head can't handle it all. And, you know, I try to care about that. Because I realize that school is trying to cram a lot of stuff in people. And they're culling kids out. Here's the ones going to college. And here's the ones who are going to be blue shirt collar workers. And so we're going to really have advanced college classes for them. And kids are getting stuffed. They work all day at school. Or they're at school all day. Then they get homework for all night. And I know that's hard. That's hard. Everybody's got to learn stuff because technology today, to keep a job, you've got to keep upgrading your education. And then you get on the internet and more information. Punch in some word you want to learn about something, you get 300,000 entries. And that's just if you punch in one word. Sometimes I've seen a million entries. You know, I'm not going to go through all that. And so people come to church, they'd like to just relax a little. But the problem is if I don't give any information, we're going to fall prey to deceivers out there and every wind of doctrine get blown around like a ping pong ball in a hurricane. There's going to be more false teaching, verse 11. And because this evil is in the world, and I don't know why, I skipped ahead to this one already. Because there's evil in the world, it's going to make people hard-hearted and afraid and unwilling to love. The love of many shall wax or become cold. How many people will pick up a hitchhiker today? Years ago, many would easily stop and see a person walk alongside the road and help them. But you know what's happened. You know what is happening. You know what could happen. And so you think twice and you drive on by. Some car's stalled on the side of the highway and you don't know if it's a trap or not. Because others have done this with good hearts and they've been robbed, even killed, if not kidnapped. And so when you can't trust anymore, you can't love anymore. By the way, that's an indication about God too. If you don't know your God, you can't trust Him. If you can't trust Him, you can't love Him and serve Him. But, verse 13 would tell us, some will endure. Some will persevere. Some will go on. And the reason they will is because Christ is in them. And Christ in them will prevail upon them to keep love and truth alive in them. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, I'm going to ask you to patiently do one thing. This is the only time I'm going to turn my page here, folks. I'm going to go to 1 John chapter 2. And I think John digested these thoughts real well, and he gave us some really good warning and instruction. And in 1 John chapter 2, I'm just going to read carefully, and I'm not going to comment. I'm just going to read carefully. Verse 14, and I'm going to go to chapter 3, verse 3. Starting with chapter 2, verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction, which, by the way, is translated later the anointing. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of you, the Spirit of Christ. I did make a comment, sorry. But you have an unction or an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Whoso denies the Son, the same has not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that does or practices righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he, that is Christ, is pure. The last thing Gary read to us was from verse 14, and we put it right on the front of the bulletin. In Matthew 24, verse 14, it says, "But in this gospel of the kingdom, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he, that is Christ, is pure." The last thing Gary read to us was from verse 14, and we put it right on the front of the bulletin. In Matthew 24, verse 14, it says, "But in this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So often, it's not the gospel of the kingdom, it's the gospel of the cushion. Let Jesus make your life better. And we just comfort ourselves and try to survive. Now, folks, I know that God wants to comfort us, and I know there's much comfort in the gospel. But comforting in us and just trying to be comfortable are not the same thing. The fellowship of the gospel includes more than comfort. It includes proclaiming the authority of Christ to all men everywhere. Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Acts 17, Paul preaching to Gentiles in verse 30 and 31 said, "God now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead, never to die again. He is alive and rules in the hearts of those who have truly received him as their Lord and Savior by faith. He is coming again to make righteous claim to rule this earth. It is our job to prepare people by preaching the gospel so that they can repent and put their faith in Christ, so that they can bow their knee willingly to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus asked a question in Luke 18:8. When the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? It is the responsibility of each one of us to try and make that answer a yes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I commit this word to your keeping, Lord, into the hearts and minds of all of us. If there's anyone here who has only dabbled with Christianity, if there's anyone here who has just been looking for a cushion to make it easier to go through life and has not received the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that today they would surrender to you and call upon you, Father, to receive forgiveness of sins through the blood of Christ which He shed on the cross, that they might receive Christ into their heart and life, that He might be Lord and Savior. And we who know You and love You, Father, stir us, wake us, alert us, direct us, correct us, encourage us as You see fit. Through these words that we have shared and through the testimony that Dr. Pat is about to give us, may we perceive what in the world You were doing and put it into the context of the work of the gospel of the kingdom of Christ. And please work in each one of us now, I ask in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.